It's Tuesday evening, August 23rd. Lord, we'd ask that you'd have your hand upon this meeting tonight, that your spirit would flow, and that you would provide revelation, and that we would, and truth, and that we would fall into a deeper and more personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And it says that after he had hungered for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And when the tempter came in, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. And anyway, I was awakened to the idea that we're not really thinking about bread. We're not talking about bread. We're talking about food. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they had bread and fish and whatever else, but they ate a lot of bread because there were a lot of vitamins and a lot of the seeds of, you know, that were in it that they ate. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And, there's some scripture that say, who is God is their belly or whatever, because some people, their main, their God source is the food. And when we used to go to the Pentecostal Assembly, every Sunday after church, half of the Old Country Buffet was our church. You know? And Gordy Steinhauer, who passed away, but he used to laugh about it. He says, you can tell where the heart is. But anyway, the devil said, man shall not live by bread alone. And what it is, man shall not live by food alone. It's the eating of, you know, the meal. But he shall be... But he shall live by every word that can proceed out of the mouth of God. You know, I never realized it until the other night, that that had become, it's like, you know, Jesus said in the fourth chapter of John, when they went down to Samaria or someplace, and the disciples didn't get food. And they came back and he said, I'm full. And they said, well, did you eat? Who fed you? Where did you get your food? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And I'm wondering, I get over to that page, but close hit it and turned it right back to the other page. And he says in verse 32, John 4:32. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he ate something, you know. know. He says, I have meat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That doesn't make any sense. Except, and unless there really is some kind of substance in God's word. I'm not saying that I've gotten pulled by his word, but I certainly have had experiences of that, you know. Well, tonight, Brittany and Justin are at some Bible study somewhere.
Curtis and Brittany?
Yeah, okay. Brittany.
Yeah, Justin and Brittany would be pretty special.
When I say Justin, I meant Curtis.
That's what I thought.
So, does it have to do with any of these people? Boy, must be.
I'm not sure. Probably. Well, it could be, but I'm not sure. I think that's Tuesdays and then Saturdays. Maybe the Saturday service. But, you know, I think Curtis is not easily swayed. And I thought his comment about that group was pretty telling. He seemed to feel that that there is the spirit is close.
Yeah, he saw the humanity of Christ right away, and talked quite a bit about it, you know. And it's easily understood what has happened, and this is the problem with. That Linda has had is like we had a lot of people that have gone by Don Burnett. And Don Burnett taught that Jesus was fully God and fully man.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in the middle of his teaching, there were a lot of people that were the jinxes, what do we call them, remember?
Yeah.
That's the right way to say it.
Jesus is man.
Jesus is not God.
Or Jesus is not God.
Jings. I think J-I-N-G-S.
And so that's where Brad Medlock came in.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well.
And there were a lot of people that believed that. So I just wonder right now how many people are still of that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shared it the other day, or I was talking with someone, and I think I might come a little bit from the spirit, but if you are going to stand on the fact that you believe in unfolding revelation, then you have to be open to change and correction. And a lot of Christians are more interested in being right in what their doctrine says, then being open to receiving new truths, then realizing
yeah.
they've got to change. They believe the deception. And I pray hard that that's something I'm not going to give up. You know?
Yeah. We didn't get that because of somebody's teaching. I never taught that.
That Jesus is a man?
Yeah.
True, like that came from the Spirit.
Yeah.
In Revelation. And so, yeah. But, on a couple levels, it makes sense that the Bible college people were really digging into the Word. And you would think that some of them would have caught a little bit of that revelation.
Yeah.
If they were keeping their mind open and to, you know. I I truly think it's so much easier for a young Christian or a newborn to go with what's being brought than it is to go to a devout, born again, battle hardened. I've been to 52 Bible studies in the last 2 years and 14 seminars and evangelist meetings and whatever, and that's not what they say, you know. So you have to,
well, most
I'm teach yourself.
Most Christians, as we know them today, believe that Jesus is God. They believe that,
mm-hmm.
And they have been taught that by the Trinity, especially.
Yep, there's a lot in the Bible. In Jesus' time, people kept wondering how such a man could have that ability.
Oh, yes.
And so he was, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They kept doubting their eyes, like, how is this guy doing this?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I kind of like this, and I'm not maybe way wrong in this, but I think we all had an idea that Jesus was a man way back when. But I don't think we understood the full depth of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, because he wasn't, he did everything man did. He had to eat, he had to sleep, he had to, you know. So, well, I think we associated him as a man back then, but we just didn't know the depth of it,
mm-hmm.
You know. That's my thought.
I heard an odd thing. I was watching the movie. And it was something about, they wanted to capture who they thought was the leader of a terrorist group that was in the United States. So anyway, they got him, that was the wrong guy. But he was speaking, and he was married to a Christian woman, but he was a devout Muslim. But his thinking was like nothing like the new, you know, it's nothing, that no violence whatsoever. And so anyway, this guy goes, he happened to notice that she had a cross, and so he asked him, "Is your wife Christian?" "Yeah," he says, "but God is one." And it was like, he was saying, and that's what she believes, and that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because it wasn't like, well, yeah, she doesn't understand God is one. She thinks that it was, no, it was like, well, God is one.
Mm-hmm.
Which they always thought, you know, but it was like, it was making the connotation that she was believing the same thing. And I thought that was just kind of odd to be in this secular movie, kind of, you know.
Yeah. Well, to your point, I think you're right. But they struggled with explaining how this man was doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became easier to say.
No, that's been my thought, too. I didn't believe he was God. But I didn't have any depth to the man side of it, like we got from listening to the word, then, and all of a sudden you saw all the references, and, you know, and then you started seeing why it was important that he was a man, which it is very important.
Yes.
You know, it's a funny thing that we don't see right away, that we don't understand these things. It's like the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Where do we see that?
Yeah, I know. Which really brings home the idea of the fact that you need to be taught by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll just keep reading that same way and never see nothing.
in Luke 10, when the 70 returned that Jesus sent out. And it says here, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So easy to put yourself ahead of everything. And I'm thinking, yeah, we've been there. But what caught my attention is when he said, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I read that a few times, but I still don't quite.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Yeah. You know.
Of course, there's a reference somewhere where when Jesus rose, doesn't it say, and then something about when Satan was cast to the earth? A reference made somewhere, I don't know. It'd be pretty hard to find because it could have been said in another book later, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds like Revelation.
It has something to do that he was kind of in power for a while, but then when Jesus took away the sting of death, kind of, and whatever, then it said he was cast to the earth.
Well, he'll be loose from here on earth for some
he's acting for a while, then he gets put in a cavern, mm-hmm. Or abyss for 1,000 days, I think. Years, 1,000 years. And then he gets released again for a short time, and that's the very end.
Yeah.
And where God rolls it all up. You know, when you think about, man, he thinks he's so smart, So, climate change or whatever, I'm just sitting here going, well, God's making this happen and this happen and the heat and this dry up. And man's going, well, no, it's got to be something we can fix because we messed it up. They think they're totally responsible for the whole thing when they're not, Sure, we probably do mess some of it up, But it's like, but you aren't going to fix it just because you're a man and you think you're so smart.
I saw where a river in Florida, or in Texas, dried up, and they found creatures that found tracks in the floor of it.
Dinosaurs?
Dinosaur tracks. How would they know?
I have never thought about that scenario.
No, I could not find there is references of Revelation, but not that he was tossed down. But I was actually just smiling as along the global climate change. Climate's been changing every day since the beginning of time. So it's the first thing that you know. So people are going, hey, you know, we see it's getting warmer, and you go, well, yeah. But it means it must have been colder sometime, so everybody's blaming it on we're burning coal and da da da. And then they keep seeing glaciers melting, and then underneath the glaciers they keep finding human skeletons. Mm-hmm. So they go, well, how could there be a skeleton, you know, underneath this glacier that has never been exposed before?
Oh, it must have been warm.
Must have been exposed before. You know, no, some guy on his last dying breath burrowed down 60 feet in the glacier so he could leave his bones there. You know. And I just started laughing. I go, you know, it's,
yeah,
it is, you know, goes in cycles of, the coldest year in recorded history, meaning in the last 300 years, is 1845, 43, 44, 45. There was a massive earthquake, kind of volcano eruption. And it threw so much ash into the atmosphere that it basically darkened the sun across the globe. And it took 18 months of rain to filter it out. So this thing happens and it starts knocking down all the sun. And then the earth goes around to the other side, and all of a sudden they have the winter of all winters. And then, you know, they come back around to the summer, and it never really quite gets warm, and they go around again. And I'm going, so, gets too hot. God says, boom, one volcano. Problem fixed.
Yeah.
You know, and you just kind of go, so I just, yeah, a good way to look at it is, we think we are so smart that we can fix everything, and we think because we did it, we can undo it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I get it. We're throwing a lot of plastic in the ocean, and that stuff doesn't disintegrate, and yeah, I get all that stuff. But I haven't seen anything man-made that can't stand up to God's lava. So it's like, when he decides to burn it up, he can do it. So I just, Pablo and I were chatting, and one thing led to another. The comic kind of got down to, he's talking about all this pain that he has, and he sees all these people, maybe sure the Sunday here, I don't recall. I have a couple conversations with Pablo. But he said, you know, there's people in all this pain, and they just, because they don't have God, they just don't have a good way to try and cope with it. And he says, I don't know how I would be able to do it if I didn't have God in my life. Kind of how I look at what's going on in the world politically. I don't think I could cope with it if I didn't have God in my life. So,
yeah.
I don't get it. We're heating up into the witching season now, I'll tell you. It's bad.
You really have faith in God? You're calm.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on.
No matter what. It might succumb here and there, but you can't make it down, you know.
But you know where to go.
Yeah. And every time it'll make a better impression, you know.
On the way back from Rochester, Marty was driving, and he's talking about the stress of things. And his faith has really come a long way. I would love for him to come and talk with you guys. But he gets into these mindsets where he thinks about stuff like, you know, this going on and that going on in the world. And he said, I don't know if I'll have enough faith when I need it. And I said, God promised you he'll give it to you. And he thought of it and he said, yep, you're right. I forgot that. So it was good.
Yeah, we all were good. All of us need reminders at different times.
Yeah, well, and we all get in that state sometimes where our mind takes over, I think. But if we can always get back to the fact that God's in control.
Right.
And will he promise?
Stop thinking you can fix this or you've got to fix this. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, there's this very popular saying in the world, If not you, who? Mm-hmm. And the answer is God.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah, it's not me, it's God. You know, mm-hmm. And the people who want to say, if not you, who, don't want to hear God.
You know.
They do not want to hear that you're not, that
you're not worried either.
Well, that you don't have total control.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say, it's not me, it's God, and they go, so you're going to believe in this make-believe, can't see, can't touch, can't smell, all-knowing thing, right? And
yeah.
You go, yep, because what's your alternative? Don't know that that's really a good idea to think I'm going to believe in you. So.
Yeah. It's gotten me out of a lot of worry at times. Thinking, okay, Lord, I know you're in control. I give it to you.
Amen. We've talked about it again more so maybe than some of the rest of us, but the freedom of not having to defend what you believe, and saying, you know, hey, I, if you don't like this, that's fine. This is not what I'm saying. This is what the Bible is saying.
Yeah.
And if you want to disagree with the Bible, that's your choice. It's kind of like,
I didn't make it up.
Kind of like, what was his name, Joseph, who ended up being head of Levi's. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, okay, I get it, but this is a choice for me. And so it's like, okay.
Don't argue with me, argue with the Bible.
Yeah, but it takes so much pressure off you. Because, I mean, it's
you know, just the fact that you're going through this stuff and you can say, Lord, I turn it over to you. There's the big release right there.
Amen.
You know, he doesn't have to do anything. He just accepts that he's going to do it, and it'll be done. It may not be at that moment, but it's going to be in God's time. And that's, you know, when you pray for people, we all like to think, well, we get done praying, they're going to get up and just walk away. No, it's not necessarily God's time at that time. We have to understand, it is in God's time, not ours. I mean, yeah, I can do something in the kitchen in my time, but I can't do what God's time is, you know.
Yeah, I shared this the other day. You're exactly right, and that is exactly the mindset we have to have. But the unfortunate part is Scripture kind of, Jesus prayed, they were healed.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus prayed, they were healed. And then, you know, you go back, well, you know, I have Jesus in my heart, and you know Jesus, and I get that, but as you look through the Word, you see kind of instantaneous stuff. And so the whole concept of, well, not always instantaneous. And you know,
but so even when Jesus prayed, it wasn't always.
Not always, but
most of the time.
Most of the time. I mean, you've got to kind of look for the times.
But Jesus was perfected with God.
Well, that's the flip side. It's like,
and I'm not.
The fullness of God dwelling within him probably speeds up the process.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't mean to be glib when I say that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, greater power being exerted, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, when Jesus healed the blind man, and, you know, he got the dirty spit out and put it on his eyes, and he said, go to the well. I can't think of the name of the well, but he says, go to the well and wash. Okay. Jesus didn't heal him instantly. The man's faith healed him when he got to the well. Now, had he not gone to the well, we probably didn't. We'd still be blind.
Mm-hmm. There was another one. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. But my point being is, he had to have the faith to do it on his own after he was told what to do by Jesus.
Yeah.
And while you read it really quick, there was some time from the time he told him to get to the well to the time he got to the well.
He could have lost faith there.
Yeah, he was probably could have been challenged and not to lose his faith. And, you know, if he had to walk 2 miles, being blind, I imagine that goes pretty slow. So it was, you know.
Then there was another blind guy that Jesus, I think he spit on in his eye or whatever. And he says, what do you see? Well, I see men walking looking like big trees. Well, he didn't get the full healing, so Jesus said, I prayed for you again. And then he saw. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just heard that today. I just kind of, oh, yeah, he had to pray for him twice. Of course, it was right away, but, you know, mm-hmm. probably within 3 minutes.
Well, don't give up.
Yeah.
See, Ben, my tree is walking.
Yeah.
But, you know, that, yeah, how strong is your faith once you're told what Jesus tells you? You know, when the Lord tells you to do something, you know.
I came across, I was reading in 2 Peter, and I found out how you can never stumble. So, I'm going to start, if you'll bear with me, I want to read a little bit of scripture, but because there's some good parts in here that we should be reminded of all the time. Yeah, that's right away in the first chapter. To grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you, and we've thought of it, come across this before, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, which is what Jesus had. But it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, see, it's not everybody gets all of that all at once, you know. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And I went, wow, I'm still stumbling, I know. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then this is in her, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. We just read the reminder, and we can read it as many times as we want. Let's see, was there a little more? For we did not follow, that's about it. That's the main gist of it. But I thought...
Well, the last thought, verse 16 is pretty good. But we're eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Right. So, if you do, if you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, well, I haven't totally escaped yet. You know, I know I haven't. And then I haven't done all the things that get listed after that. But it says if you get to where you're doing all those things, you won't stumble.
I'm going to jump to verse 21 on you.
Sure.
For prophecy never came by the will of man,
yeah,
but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I'd read part of it long too while I was doing that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I had chapter 4 and verse, or chapter 2 verse 4 highlighted, so I had to turn the page to see what it said, you know, because I had it highlighted. But, and I highlighted for this reason, you know. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. You know, I think, okay, he's got some angels down there waiting for judgment.
Yeah.
And if angels are going to be judged, you know, man's not going to get away either.
And there's a place that says that we're going to even judge angels.
Yeah. I've seen that, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know if those are fallen angels or...
Yeah, it says something like, and don't you know that one day you will judge angels, I think it said.
Yep.
That, you know, that...
1 Corinthians 6:3.
What is it?
1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we will judge angels?
Yeah. But that scripture in Matthew 4:4, it says we shall not live by bread alone. Actually, food is what it means. But we shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word.
And when you do all that.
But you know what? There's a way you can do that. At the same time, you can have a heart for it. Have a heart that wants it.
Yeah, that's the first step.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you ain't ever going to get close.
You know? I don't believe God ever speaks an unimportant word. I think every word.
I'm sorry. That's not
well. Somebody would say, "Well, how can and whatever make it?" Well, because it keeps building. It keeps adding to the next thing.
Emphasize
so every word is going to somewhere,
and it'll emphasize something. And?
Well, yeah, and is one that you know.
Oh, I thought that's what you're
saying. Well, yeah, I was, but actually, there's a lot of ands that have really big importance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they join two thoughts together.
Or they separate.
Yeah, or they get right.
You know, mm-hmm. Like, it's
kind of like,
and the God of our Lord and Savior. No, that isn't the right way it's said. But anyway, I read on that, I think, the other night. It's in the opening of a lot of the books, mm-hmm. where they make a separation that the Father is Jesus' God. You know, the God of Jesus. That's what it's saying.
Yeah, he said, "I ascend to your God and my God, to my Father."
Well, I know how it says, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
So that's where it's making a distinction, you know, separation.
Well, that one verse in Philippians is where I begin to really see it. It says that he. He thought not robbery to be equal with God, but he took upon himself no reputation, and became as a servant. I don't know how it says it. It's in the second chapter of Philippians.
Yeah, why would a God do that?
Yeah.
The God. Why would the God?
Six. Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And actually we went to the various translations of it. It reads a little bit cleaner than yours, Ken.
No, and they said, well, see, he was in the form of God. But I think there's a place in James 3:9.
And took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. When James 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Similitude of God, meaning same in the essence of God. James 3:9.
3:9.
Isn't that kind of saying in the form of God?
Yeah.
You know?
Thompson
similitude of God?
No. Well, Thompson Chains has divine image.
Oh,
yeah. Divine image of God.
We were created in God's likeness, weren't we?
Right.
Similar, but not.
Right. Which was Jesus also.
That verse in Acts says, "Where shall let the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." God, he made him that.
And then Peter in there says, "This man attested to you." I think it says. He makes the emphasis that he was a man.
Yeah. Well, in Hebrews 2:14, since the children have flesh and blood, he shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were being held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way.
Boy, that really says it, doesn't it?
In order that he might become a merciful, faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted.
What the translation is that?
This is the NIV.
Oh. Because it, yeah, it really kind of
really brings it.
It's a flesh and blood, you know.
It is what it is, yeah. Hebrews and why? Hebrews 2, starting with verse 14, I started, but
doesn't
of course
work.
There's a lot
more.
Yeah, we have to get that one, those tapes that we had, a couple of tapes.
Jesus, the title of the chapter, Jesus made fully human.
He might already believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm woefully behind on updating the website, so that's in my list to getting things done.
In his time, sinners, the children partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Huh. That's pretty much calling him a pure man, flesh and blood, through death, he might destroy him with the power of death that is the devil.
It tells why he had to be man.
Yeah. And release those who fear him from all the rest of them. For indeed he does not give aid, but he does give aid. Therefore, in all things, to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest.
Fully human in every way.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, I mean, verse 16 really. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a conscious decision to be made man. Or that he, fully man.
That's what it looked like, doesn't it? It looks like it was his decision to do that.
Well, he took on him. I mean, I don't know.
That's a couple different ways it gets said in yours, mine, and hers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, here's where it, instead of saying taking it on in 14 in the New King James, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy. So it wasn't, he was what he was, you know, and shared the same, because he was flesh and blood. It's not saying, in this case, it's not saying he decided to become flesh and blood.
Yeah, that was me reading in 16, not 14, so.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know.
But you're right. So there's one way in 14 a little bit different than 16.
That verse in Luke, what is it, 24:39?
Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. Made like his brethren. Made like his brethren.
No doubt.
And you know, even in his ascension, and even in Revelation, it never has him going from man to God.
No.
You know?
It's just called the weak-minded men.
Right.
Explain how flesh floats up to heaven. Well, flesh doesn't do that because no one else does.
But some say, and God became a man and walked on the earth.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you're right, Keith. I think you 24:39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. That's when he was talking to Thomas.
Yeah.
What I liked about what you just shared, though, was he died so he could defeat death.
Yes.
I mean, you have to remind my wife about that. Death has already been defeated by God.
Of him.
Yeah. I mean, you really have no reason to fear death because God's already beat it.
With his son.
Through
who holds the power of death, that is the devil. He's defeated.
He's defeated the devil and
death is defeated because of that.
Yeah. And you can.
That's one of the best promises I can read.
Mm-hmm.
See, in this case, he had to be a man. Baptism, he has to be a man. You can't be baptized into God.
If you are God.
You know?
Born again unto that which you were born before.
What's the reason for it?
Baptism, I mean, it's the identification of Christ dying, you know, and buried and risen. It's also the shedding of his blood, you know, the remission of sins.
Yeah, it's acknowledging your sin, too. It's a very public display of repentance. Acknowledging your sin.
Keith's wore off.
You're ready for that.
I think you're kind of worn out. Which is good. It's good to be tired at night.
Yeah.
I'm worn out from watching Chuck.
Work?
Yeah. He gets retired just watching.
Good, Jeff. Way to go. We love you all.